Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Thursday. What a weird week. I think weird mostly because Wheeler's gone. Anytime somebody's out, it's weird. But it's especially weird when Wheeler's out because he just leaves such a giant hole. Take that as you will.
Yeah.
I'm always talking about Wheeler's. Never mind. Never mind.
In all the years he's been with me, he's never learned it's fun when the house of cards bend, but not when they fall.
Yeah.
Does it, after a while, do you start to miss them? Kind of like when people held captive, they start to...
Stockholm Syndrome?
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. No doubt. Start the show with a couple of shout-outs. First of all, to the Greek Fest. Does my voice sound really good today?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Like, my voice is so up and down. If I don't sleep well, it gets really raspy and thin, and I feel like it annoys people. But I got a new prescription for my doctor, so I'm sleeping. So there you go. Greek Fest every Memorial Day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And they always drop off cookies and treats and stuff. And they did that. You go to stlgreekfest.com. I'm taking some to my mom because she loves baklava, which she calls baklava baba, which I think is a better name. I think
baklava baba.
Everyone should just adopt that. And then a shout out to our ladies at Chili Max downtown. Have you guys been there yet?
Mm-hmm. Not yet.
No, but I know your stories.
Yeah, you got to go there. Three ladies who run the place. And so this is like our fourth or fifth time going. And the ladies said, so do you guys work down here? We're like, yeah, we do. And like, oh, we thought you were in for a conference. And then you're in again. And we're like, man, these guys go to a lot of conferences.
We have that many conferences?
And so one of us, probably me, said like, oh, no, we work at KMOX. And they go, you're the ones. Yeah, you guys were talking about what a hard time we give you. And we're like, oh, crap. And then like the whole place is full. And the lady, you know, like in Dumb and Dumber when Seabass and he's pointing.
Yeah.
The lady points at me and she goes, hey, everyone, KMOX. And everyone's like, what?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
That's not embarrassing
and we
at
keep,
all.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, we keep a pretty low profile when we go out. We're just not very, you know, loud or boisterous people. So it's very,
I'm not
very
sure
funny.
What you meant by that.
No, I just mean...
No autographs, please.
No,
I'm
just
like
mean...
Debbie Monterey and Tom Ackerman, who cause a scene.
Yeah.
Next
I just
time
mean Ackerman's like, KMOX and Chili Max.
Next time you'll require that Sinatra table in the private room.
I just mean we're very quiet. We don't, like, talk real loud or anything when we're out at restaurants or whatever.
But you guys do probably cause a scene because one time, I think it was Rachel, described you guys with Kevin as looking like a group of people who don't belong together.
Yeah.
And 100%, that's accurate that if you guys walked in, I'd be like, these guys don't belong together.
Yep. No, like the Beatles walking across the Abbey Road, if they were all from different generations and clearly wouldn't be friends outside of this show. Yeah. Like, that's...
It's so... I think about that
and
often.
We get made fun of around here a lot, which I don't know. I guess you just don't see it when it's you, but we're always together. It's like we just move in a little pack.
It's like an entourage.
It is. Like we used to eat lunch out at the lunch tables every day together, and now we just, I don't know. It's silliness.
You think other people in the station or in the building are like, they don't talk to anybody but themselves.
Totally.
They just hang out at a table.
Oh, I would hate us. Yeah. I'd be exactly the person who'd be like, look at these guys from that stupid show.
They only talk to each other.
They only talk to each other. Wheeler's the only cool one.
But you know, you gotta hand it to them. They don't cause a scene.
That's right. Yeah. They're very under the radar.
You know what? Andrew said something.
You two do nothing but make a scene. That's why you don't understand what I'm talking about. You guys walk around the kitchen yelling at people all day.
What do I do? You are nothing but
I'm
a scene.
I'm friendly.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm a nice guy.
You crave attention is
Megan
the problem.
Lynch
I don't need attention
you.
From you.
Megan Lynch hates you because every time you open that door.
Megan Lynch hates you.
You ruined.
Devastating does
sentence.
Not
putting
hate.
A lot of words in
you
Megan Lynch's mouth for somebody
stories.
2 feet that way.
Because she can, like, Ron will come out there, you know, and talk and be like, oh, so anyway, I'm going to get a donut. And then Megan Lynch, who's clearly doing serious Florida. News work, looks over her shoulder like, I will murder him.
She loves me.
This just in. Yeah. Raji's going to get a donut. Total information AM.
You're the one that walks around looking for cake all the time. All she ever does is walk around. Where's her cake? We need cake.
We used to have more cake.
No, we didn't.
I
we
think
never
we did.
Did. We had cake one time, and now you walk in every day going, where's the cake?
Cake is such an easy way to make someone's day.
Yeah. It is.
You know what? Andrew said a thing that reminds me of something. When I've been on dates before.
I do that.
Things are going well for me.
Yeah.
The one thing that I hate the most when you're out at, like, say, a restaurant is when she talks really loud and everybody can hear the conversation. I hate that.
I do, too.
I hate when people are loud talkers. Why? Mm. Well, don't you want to keep it, you know, keep it in your little circle?
I agree. Whenever we've done, like, the Sweet 16 of most annoying character traits, that has won a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it.
I think
I feel like everybody's looking at us.
I think you might be that, too.
Am I that?
Yes.
Sometimes I think I'm accidentally public, loud.
I've had coffee with you in public, and you're not loud. Okay. You're just loud in the office.
If I get excited, I get loud.
There's different kinds of loud. Like, there's Wheeler, who seems to not be able to help it. He just has a really loud volume to his voice.
Loud. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I will cop. I do have sort of the Amy thing. I mean, not that you guys don't know. But when I get excited, I will get a little ramped up, right? Yeah.
But Americans in general are loud. Yeah. And I always feel loud because my running group, very international.
Yeah, it's not my fault. I'm just American.
Yeah. Very international. And they kind of talk in hushed tones.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I'm me and Craig, the two loud Americans.
Mm. Yeah.
And so
I'm more European.
Craig sounds like a real clown.
Possibly Japanese, I have learned today.
Really?
Yeah. We have a little TV in our office, not to brag, but we do. And I had flipped around channels.
Good to
and
be the king.
Rach was putting it back on CNN, and she goes, oh, we have the Japanese channel. So there's this
NHK World.
NHK World. And it's in English, thankfully. My Japanese is rusty. And and then we watched sumo wrestling, which was cool as hell. But get this. I have never, ever done anything with sumo before in my life. We're watching it on the television. We're talking about it, but I didn't like Google it or anything. Pull up TikTok, first three videos, not just sumo wrestling, but Rachel said who her favorite was. His name is Pugsy. And
is that his real name?
And it was him. I promise, I showed it to her. Like, I pull up TikTok, I open it, and it's sumo wrestling, and it's her guy who's her favorite.
Yep.
Rachel's boyfriend, Pugsy.
That is not right.
Yeah,
no,
that was
that's
super
that's
weird.
Really not
it,
good.
Like, it would be one thing if we would have, like, texted about it or something, but we never
even
have.
Even then.
Yeah, because then it's, like, drawing data from another app.
Yeah.
But just the fact that it's like, oh, we're listening to you and we know exactly what
you're
doing.
Especially
what we
do for a living. We can talk about some pretty weird things and that I don't want my phone picking up going like, oh, he must want to look at this
kind of
stuff.
Yeah, this is what he's into.
So that was weird.
Yeah, I don't like that
His name is Onosato. It's not Pugsley.
Pugsy.
No, Pugsy, sorry.
Wait, does anyone call him Pugsy or just
no,
Dave?
No, just Dave.
Oh.
Just me.
It's called an affectionate pet name. I don't
his
see.
His name really was Pugsy.
Yes, the Japanese call him Pugsy.
I didn't know. That's why.
I wish you'd have gone to dinner with all your fancy pants friends from Wildwood and been like, so anyway, I'm kind of into sumo.
You may have heard of,
may have heard of Pugsy.
If you had not said that, I would
bet
have thought that
the whole farm on Pugsy to win.
Yeah, it's a traditional Japanese name.
Google he has an arch enemy. His name is Bartle and James. And
wait, so there's a sumo called Pugsy?
Oh, yes, I just thought maybe it was his stage name.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. You know, weirder things have happened.
Anything could happen.
Yeah,
I guess.
We don't actually know it's not.
Then it was a show about sake. And these families make it for generations. And this one family that was being featured, it was their, like, 18th generation. And I said to Rach, now being 59 years old and then, like, the belly of the beast of my career and kids and mom and the whole thing, I'm sure everyone bitches about everything, but how great does it sound to be born into a family where you just know what you're going to do and your family's successful and you have money and you're like, I'm going to make sake. That's what I'm going to do. I don't care about anything else. I'm going to learn how to make sake. I'm going to do it, pass it on to my kids.
That's a real hobby that you can make it your entire life and you would enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like doing something just like
being,
that.
And there's something really attractive about being really, really great at one small thing.
Right.
Like people who get PhDs in Gettysburg, you know, they're like, oh, what about Chancellorsville? Like, I don't know crap about Chancellorsville. Like, I'm a Gettysburg man.
I've always wanted to be a Civil War buff.
But see, some experts, it's by accident, because we talked to this one professor who is the nation's leading expert on vice presidents. And I'm like, that's a great thing to be. Yeah. And I'm like, that's so specific. And definitely that couldn't have been your goal. And you're like, it wasn't my goal, but it just became that way with different avenues that he took in his school.
I thought about getting a PhD in United States presidents who look like babies. It's mostly Polk and Garfield.
Yeah. Sounds like a great
You'd only get a couple calls a year, but when you did, you're like, he looked like about an 18-month-old.
It is. There's a million presidential historians.
There are. But one vice presidential
expert, and nobody probably, Dave, is an expert on presidents who look like babies.
It may be me. Just because I know the two.
I know. That's all you need to know.
I like how Chris said, nobody probably.
What do you think, though, of like, let's say you're the 19th generation and you're like, I don't want to do the family
business
anymore. It does happen. Yeah. And I always wonder about those people because it's like you have such a legacy going with your family. It would be such an honor to like take this on. But your individual desires are, you know,
but you know who gets mad at people like that are people like us. Like if one of the Bushes or like, you know, one of the like Skip Weber family, if they're like, yeah, guess what? I don't want to do sell cars, Dad.
Yeah.
I'm just like, shut up, get in line, you know? But when you're from the successful family, you always want to be like an artist.
Well, yeah, when you grow up with it, you're tired of it. I can see you being tired of it. Like, this has been my whole life. I don't want to do this.
It's difficult, though, because you say, well, I want to make my own name. But then when you try to do that, everyone's like, you're
so
successful
easy.
Because of your family name and you're connected and you know everybody.
Mm-hmm. So you're kind of damned if you do. But boy, being from South Alexandria, it sounds I would take those problems.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about that.
That's why we had Queen Elizabeth, because her uncle wanted to marry Wallis Simpson, the American divorced lady.
Oh, yes.
He was supposed to be king, and he was like, no, I'm going to marry this lady.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, I'm forgetting the name, but Queen Elizabeth's dad became king.
Yes.
So we were like pretty close to not Edward. Having Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah. In, I guess, there's a show I watched with Wamsgam from Succession.
Tom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he did one for the BBC that was a lot about that, and I learned a lot. It was really good. Mm-hmm. What's Her Face from X-Files played Mrs. Simpson.
Okay.
Yeah, played it well.
Jillian.
Yeah, she was kind of
And then she played in The Crown.
Right?
Yeah, she played, in The Crown.
Yeah, she was thought of as quite a hussy back then. Like an American divorcee, gave up the crown for her.
That show about Gillian Anderson. I was like, wow, okay, ouch.
We have a little history together, so. DGS. One more thing about sumo, I was just telling the guys, it's kind of cool, is when they win their match, which lasts like 3 seconds, they squat down and a guy in a robe comes over with a little silver platter with cash on it and they get paid right then. Yeah. Like, wouldn't that be something if everyone out there, like if when we walked out, Steve Moore was there and we squatted down and he handed us a paper plate full of cash.
Would it make the job better?
Yes.
I think so. Like if you got paid,
it would be more rewarding.
I don't
if you got paid cash by your boss at the end, and there are jobs that are like that. There are like, you know, those kind of under the table-y construction jobs or whatever.
Under the table-y construction.
They'll just hand you the cash at the end of the day or whatever. And I think that's got to feel good to hold that, you know, a day's work worth of pay in your hands.
I think an envelope of cash feels great.
Yeah.
Somebody hands one of those to you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I never ever see money. Like it's all direct deposited and I'm lucky enough, I lived paycheck to paycheck most of my life, and I don't anymore, so it's like, when's payday? I don't know. It's like, it's just going to go in, and bills will get paid. But I never see it, and I never, like, think about it or know about it, which is nice, but it would make a difference. Like, you know, like with my lives. You know, you get paid a certain amount for that life. If they were standing there with cash, like, whip, 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 you know, like at the casino?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, how many lives I got today?
Be nice. Just it feels more rewarding. It's tangible. Somebody gives you money.
What if you had to pay taxes in cash?
Like, if they give you $50 and take $10 back?
But that would hurt.
No, but if they pay you in cash, you could put it in the safe. They'll never know about it.
That's fraud.
What?
But they always say that's part of the reason that we have
that's
such like
fraud.
Like you
you're
know.
Going to jail, Mr. Ranji.
That's part of the reason we have like debt problems and stuff now is because when you can't see the cash,
yeah.
it's a lot. Like when you have to physically pay for everything with 100%. Cash and you yep. see your stack dwindling, you're like, "Oh, I spent a lot
like
of money today."
When I've only been to Vegas a couple times, but when you get there and everything, the currency is just chips, and you find yourself giving waitresses $25 chips as a tip because you're like, "That's not real money.
Right.
That's just a piece of plastic."
Yeah,
I feel that way when I have cash. It's like separate from my debit card
right.
money. I'm yeah. like, "This is just free money that I can."
Yeah, I'm the exact same way.
No.
I have
money.
Like a yep. little cash in my wallet, and I'm like, "This is free. Whatever I pay with
cash,
this is free."
Yes, nothing. None of my bills would get paid because, like Rachel said, I'd be like, "Well, this is pretend."
Yeah.
And I would never put it in the bank account because that's not real.
This isn't my money. This is cash.
It's just a nice little tip for me.
Yeah.
You know, hit me today, cash. Turning 60. This will all be over for everyone in like 3 months. Don't worry. Once I hit it, it's like done until I'm 70. So I don't have to worry about me bitch anymore. But there are at least four generations behind me.
Oh. Yeah,
because I'm technically the last year of boomer, so X millennial,
Z
and Alpha.
Alpha. Talk about being on the quarter machine, about to get knocked off the edge.
Wow.
Oof.
Jeez.
Yep.
But the good thing about it is there's like when you're in your 50s, you start saying things like, "Well, I don't care about the trends that the kids are doing," but you do. But when you are about to turn 60, you don't know about them, and you really don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know you can't keep up.
Like, skibbity-dee.
Like, whatever.
Skibbity
like,
toilet.
The words toilet. Or what yeah. you're supposed to wear or not wear, cargo shorts in or out. Like, you just kind of go like, here's one good thing.
Mm-hmm. It is funny, though, because if someone said, okay, he was four generations you know, before you,
mm-hmm.
I would say,
right.
did he sign the Constitution?
Right, right. Did he fight for the North or the South?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember, you remember when you were a kid thinking somebody who was 30 years old was ancient.
Yeah.
Right? It's only 30.
I remember when I was a kid, and I remember very clearly my dad having his 40th
yes.
birthday party. And it was like, they gave him like
over the hill.
The black balloons.
Over the hill. Yeah. And they gave him the silly cane that
my dad had
like
one of those.
Old person walking through. And now, like, I'm almost 40.
I feel like millennials are a little too sensitive, as a millennial myself, for the whole like over the hill, like black
yeah.
balloons.
Yeah.
They did that for my
so.
Dad too. But it's like, we've kind of fallen off that, which I'm glad about because that's not as big of a deal as I was led to believe whenever I was
yeah.
little.
It was like you said, I remember mm-hmm. it so clearly. My dad's birthday, I mean, it was like death.
And it was treated like that. Like and I got in my head, I'm like, and maybe that's where that comes from for millennials to think like, oh, 40 is like a
I've told this.
A death
I tell
sentence.
The story every time we talk about this, but when I was 25, made out with someone who was like 37
nice.
At a happy hour.
Nice.
And all my friends were like, what was it like?
I had the same thing.
133 DGS on KMOX. Let's talk about something real and controversial. Amy, I don't know if you saw this, but the 6A, which I think is the biggest schools in Oregon, a biologic male transgender student, female, won the 200 meters and was soundly booed. And I was just thinking about this, and I'm just going to kind of spitball this for you, because this is sort of the way I feel about the whole thing. And I kind of thought it through and made a couple notes. Having been an athlete, but also being very, I guess, liberal or open or inclusive in my social, you know, leanings, if someone is born a male, let's just take this person. They're biologically a male, no question about it. And they at some point decide that they feel as if they are a female. And they are going to live their life as a female, non-surgically. They're just going to, they're going to dress a female. They're going to take a female persona, a female name. I couldn't have less of a problem. I don't care at all. Good for you. I'm glad that you know who you are and this is how you want to live and you're doing it bravely. I completely support that. If someone goes to the point of like hormones and surgical, you know, sex assignment surgery and so forth, to me that even you're showing your commitment even more so. You have nothing to prove to me, but again, I will support you. I'll give you whatever pronouns you want. I'll call you whatever name you want. But some things are empirical. And I don't know what level of transitioning this young athlete did to become female, but enough that she was able to compete in the state finals and win, and was supposedly going on to college to compete in female sports. But I do draw the line at things where it is empirical. Because when you are racing or lifting weights or wrestling or boxing or playing basketball or football, whatever it is, no one cares about your feelings. Your feelings don't matter. You know, I'm 5'10" on a good day, and if I say I feel 6'4", it doesn't matter. I'm still going to play like I'm 5'10", 5'9", what have you. That seems reasonable to me. Mm-hmm. That seems very reasonable to me to say whatever you want to do, you can do. But then when it affects other people in a way like that, then I think there need to be rules. Now, I'm open to the rules. Like, I don't know anything about transitioning. If you can show me that by doing XYZ medical treatments, you do not have an advantage, we can talk about that. But if it's simply I am changing my persona, but nothing about my body has changed, it doesn't feel fair. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, sports is, it's bodies competing against each other. That's what it is. Sports is science. Sports is bodies, whether it's female bodies competing against each other or male bodies. That's why we have Title IX. That was in some way sex-based discrimination, saying, listen, if we base sports totally on performance, women will never be able to play sports because the male body has biological advantages that everyone can observe and quantify when it comes to power, speed, all of those things. So sports is bodies competing against each other. And like you said, this is America. We have our freedoms. If you are, you know, let's say an adult that decides to live in a different gender than what you were born in, okay, that's your right. But when it comes to sports, it's bodies. And here's the thing. I would think that at least some transgender athletes would acknowledge that as well, because the phrase we hear so often is, I was born in the wrong body. I was born in the wrong body. We do hear that from people talking about their transition. And so if you are a transgender woman, you know you were born with a biological male body. In sports, it's not your new identity that's competing. It's the biological male body. This is a little bit, it's an analogy, but we were talking to Neil deGrasse Tyson years ago, and it was with Charlie Brennan. Charlie Brennan asked him about an anecdote he wrote in his book about his niece who believed she was talking to her dead dad. And he's like, well, you know, so I gave her a list of questions that she could ask her dead dad that she believed she was hearing from so that she could decide, are these my emotions speaking to me or my actual dead dad? I said, well, that's interesting, but isn't like first person testimony doesn't even really count? You know, first person witness doesn't even count as scientific evidence, like someone who said I was abducted by aliens. You can take their first person account, but it doesn't count as evidence. And he said, no, you're right. It doesn't count as evidence. We would need some type of recording device to be able to record that conversation with her dead dad to prove objectively that she talked to her dead dad. But of course, that technology doesn't exist. And I said, well, what do you do then? If there is no existing framework into which your observation can fit and qualify as evidence of that thing. And he said, then it's not science. It's not useful. It's not scientific. And that's kind of what we're dealing with. If you were born with certain chromosomes, certain bodies, certain anatomy, you know, certain puberty, all of that, you may identify as something different. But when it comes to sports, it is bodies, it is science. And the male biological body will always have, the best male biological body will always have an advantage over the best female biological body. And a lot of times, a mediocre male body is better than the best female body.
Other thoughts, Ranj?
I mean, I guess I kind of stand where you are on it. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about it. And I typically move past stories that are about this because I think we spend way too much time and energy and outrage on this because it doesn't happen enough that we need. We spend time on it like it is something that every American neighborhood and every school in the entire country is dealing, and they're not. It's not on the radar for me. And look, and maybe in these cases, you could go case by case and examine each situation and let's look at the rules and really determine the way we should do it. And I'm fine with all of that. But I think it is more culture war stuff than anything else. And I think it is a way to get people outraged for political reasons. That's what I think this whole thing is about.
I disagree because I will say, like, it only takes one. People go, well, there's only one. It only takes one for all the female records to drop.
To ruin sports for everybody?
From personal experience and other people.
Sports is gone forever because one transgender person won a race one time.
I mean, I know you can listen, you guys can trivialize women's sports.
That's a huge leap. That's not what we're saying.
So disingenuous.
I'm understanding why you two men are telling me what I can and can't be upset about.
You can. I'm saying as a country, we spend way too much time being upset about this.
I would say for the female athletes I've talked to, dealt with, competed with, it's a big deal. They've worked very, very hard to get where they've been. And I have seen, like I said, it can fly under the radar. You think, well, maybe it just happened at that one college or that one tournament and all this. And it matters.
I feel like you're implying that the transgender athlete is not trying very hard, did not work very hard to get where they are.
Well, you understand. Sometimes they don't, because I had someone tell me that one time. When I lost to that person because that person had a biological male body. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. So it is different. And like we can bring up one that's been very high profile. Leah Thomas was not a very good male swimmer. She was fine. Competed for 3 years at the college level as a male swimmer. Senior year transitioned. For me, I do. I, as a female athlete, knowing you never get those years back, you never get those races back, it does matter. And I like I said, support Leah Thomas for, you know, living her best life, but also acknowledging that a male biological body is going to have advantage and none of the girls competing against her are going to be able to compete with that.
So, Andrew, you think that allowing the transgender person to compete trumps the fairness to the cisgender people?
Yeah, I think you could make the argument that maybe the cisgender people should be trying a little harder then.
Well, I can't. You understand that a 12-year-old boy from East St. Louis at one time a couple of years ago had a really good race and beat the women's world record in the 400. Do you know what I mean? There's no, like a woman, the fastest woman 400 runner, I think there were 2,900 men who ran faster than she did, and she had the world record. You know, like, she's not trying harder. There are biological advantages that are indisputable and quantifiable.
Rach, thoughts?
I'm thinking it's obviously a very murky issue, because what I'm getting from Chris and Andrew, I think, is a resistance to maybe hear what Amy's saying, because there's so much hatred that comes from, like, Riley Gaines is a very outspoken advocate for, you know, against transgender people playing women's sports. There's a lot of, like, maliciousness that comes out of that I think a lot of people don't want to touch. Like, I'm kind of like Chris, is a lot of times I gloss over this topic because I'm like, I don't want to think of this as a huge deal, but it is a huge deal to the athletes. At the same time, I don't want to be one of these people who are like saying, and Amy is not doing this in any way, but like saying derogatory things about trans people in your criticism. It's become very intertwined with the online discourse. So I feel like a lot of times people are just like, no, just let them play. It's fine. Without exploring the full topic, because they don't want to be labeled as transphobic.
Well, to me, it's a perfect example of two things can be true at once. I do agree when Chris was saying that, you know, politically, it is a bigger deal than it should be, because the right will make you think that it's happening on every single sports field. And that's just not true. That rings true with me, that politically it shouldn't be used as bait. But as an athlete, let's say that it was age instead of gender, and I'm going to play in a 60 and over baseball league, but they're letting 30-year-olds play. Well, I can't compete with a 30-year-old. And although no one in the world would care about that, who cares what a 60-year-old guy, you know, playing against 30-year-olds? But to me, it matters. So I see both sides.
And as it relates to politics, I'll take it a step further. I think that the majority of people who present their outrage about it, people who are in politics, I bet at least half of them don't really
care. Less.
Well,
because,
but they know it works.
Because a lot of times it does feel like it's coming from a transphobic place.
Yeah.
But I think we should be able to, I think we should all be allowed to have this discussion and have a scientific discussion about it without being feared of being labeled in one way or the other.
You were watching Ted Cruz. You were watching Ted Cruz right. on your phone, and he was talking about this. He was questioning someone in the Senate, and he was saying, you know, like the classic, well, so you got a boy who thinks he's a girl. Like, when you do that, you put so much stink on it.
Yeah, he had an interesting case that he was bringing up. It was about this transgender woman who, when she was still a man, had sexually assaulted a young boy and a young lady, pled guilty to, and was convicted of both of those things, and then transitioned and was put in a female prison. That is a very, very compelling story for, I think, anyone to try to think, like, okay, what is the process here? What should happen in a situation like this? Brought up the fact that she was 6'2", had not surgically transitioned, so still had male genitalia. That's a conversation that should be had. However, it was dressed in so much like, and it's a dude, that causes people to shut down, and no one wants to be, you know, that person, but we should still be able to have the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Also, I'm more than willing to change my mind from a scientific standpoint when the sample size gets a little bigger. Right now, I just feel like the sample size is very small. If it's happened before, I believe it, but until it becomes an issue that is
changing
the very foundation of what sports is.
So I guess my point is, like, there has been a lot of talk about doping. A lot of people are getting their medals taken away, Russia, Kenya, track athletes, because they were doping. And the biggest argument is this is infuriating because it stole those moments from those women. There were doping runners and stole those moments. They'll never get that back. They'll never get the podium back. They'll never get to break the tape. And everyone keeps talking about how awful it is because they had a clear advantage because they were doping. In this case, you have a clear advantage if you're in a biological male body. And I'm not coming from a transphobic place. I'm not coming from a hateful place. So let's put Ted Cruz and all those idiots aside and talk to me. Talk to my friends who've been elite runners. Talk to my friends who didn't get to podium at certain races and certain events, whether it was college or whether it was in their state. And what would you tell me? Would you say, because it only happened to you, it's not a big deal?
Welcome back. DGS just had a really good, lively conversation about transgender athletes. Steve calling in with an opinion. Steve, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Dave. Andrew made the comment that what's the big deal if one trans person wins a race? It's not one race. You only have to look as much as the swimmer guy, girl, that is in college. He's breaking all the records. He's winning all the races. It affects the whole D1 college swimming, and one trans person can affect a whole sport in college. That's all I had to say.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
But once again, Steve couldn't even get through that conversation without saying he, her, guy, girl, whatever. You know what I mean? Like that kind of speech in itself I might say that does more damage to things than letting a trans person swim.
Do you think that because someone like Steve calls in and misgenders Leah Thomas, that makes you more resistant to hearing like the female point of view? Because you don't want to be lumped in with someone like him?
I mean, I don't want to be lumped in, but I also...
But you don't have to be.
I also don't think that that's why I hold my opinion. I don't think I hold my opinion because I'm scared to say what I really think. I am saying what I really think.
No, I'm not trying to say that. But at the same time, like, I want to hear what Amy has to say because she's a female athlete. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, I take her opinion very seriously. I just don't agree with
it. Let's say there's only one. And, you know, we always talk about, think of like when there's a Tiger Woods rewrote the record books. Katie Ledecky rewrote the record books. There only takes one pretty good transgender athlete who could rewrite the record books and erase Katie Ledecky's name. What if Caitlin Clark had not been Caitlin Clark, but someone else? And it's just like setting records that are, you know, are going to be insane, right? I'm just saying, like, that's what I mean is, it could be one, but we talk about how incredible athletes rewrite the record books and change history. So there could very well be a runner or a swimmer. So then do you put a caveat? Because like no biological female is going to be able to hit that number if a transgender woman who is like really, really good breaks all the records.